welcome to the Ted Brower Show. Sometimes it's known as the Brower Report also, or the Brower and Brower Report, whatever you want to call it. I'm on here today, and I think I have Ted still linked up. It was cutting out a second ago. Are you still with me there?
I'm here, Austin. Good to have you with me on the show today. It's absolutely wonderful that we're here together. And so I enjoy doing the show with you. You know that.
Yeah, it's been fun. We definitely got a lot of interesting stuff, again, to talk about today. And I'll start off with a couple of them here. The one that's pretty interesting, we had discussed about, you know, a couple years ago that the International Atomic Energy Commission knew within weeks that Fukushima had melted down, but failed to refuse basically to tell the public. The same year we reported in 2011 that the U.S. knew within days of the Fukushima accident that they had melted down, but failed to tell the public. Now a declassified report written by the U.S. Nuclear Regulatory Commission on March 18, 2011, 1 week after the tidal wave hit Fukushima, states the source term provided from NARAC was 25% of the total fuel in Unit 2 released in the atmosphere, 50% of the total spent fuel from Unit 3 was released, and 100% of the total spent fuel was released in the atmosphere from Unit 4. They said, for example, that would be as much cesium and just one Unit 4 fuel pool, that would be an 800 nuclear bombs exploded above ground. I thought that was pretty interesting that nobody wants to talk about it, but there's a lot of radiation that got leaked out because of that.
Well, it's still coming over. I mean, you know, it's just literally thousands of tons a day still of contaminated seawater, plus all the stuff in the atmosphere. Good Lord, I mean, all the reports that we've read, how much the fishing industry has been decimated in the Pacific Ocean, how the whales are having all kinds of problems, the dolphins are having problems, you know, so much of the smaller sea life, which is so susceptible to those, you know, like the different types of minnows and stuff in the shallows, they're all pretty much gone. The salmon population has crashed. I mean, this is all going on primarily because of Fukushima. And now Russia, a few weeks ago, has offered to come in there and help them and get the thing shut off, since apparently nobody else is going to do it. But remember, this is all part of the big plan that they're having. Their big plan is to start a nuclear war or to have some type of nuclear conflict with a huge radiation release in the northern hemisphere and pretty much decimate the population of the planet. And then what will happen is they're believing that because the Earth turns towards China, and when you go south of the equator, the winds reverse themselves, that the radiation won't go south of the equator, and they can basically start over and repopulate the planet and do what they want to do after the radiation subsides. This is the stuff they were talking about 20, 30 years ago in part of their population control stuff. And this is why I don't think they really care about all that cesium and all those chemicals, because south of the border, south of the equator, there's not a problem at this point. The problem is, you know, that because of the effects of the different tides and the oceans and the Gulf streams and everything else, a lot of this water gets pushed around to different locations, and I think sooner or later you're gonna have some cross contamination, unless the half life isn't quite that long as far as how long it's gonna last. But it's a mess right now, Austin. I mean, and the sad part about it is they knew it was gonna be like this when it happened four years ago, but they don't care. I mean, they could have been pumping concrete on top of that thing to start with and tried to stop it, but they didn't. And you know, a lot of people believe that was not a natural geological fault that happened. It wasn't a natural earthquake, but it was detonated or caused by, you know, by HAARP. You know, I talked about that on the last Hagman show, and how they're all happening at about 10 kilometers in depth now, almost all of the earthquakes. And the sad part about all of this is that, you know, we the people of the United States of America, again, have no say-so whatsoever. I was just doing a big extensive survey on executive orders, because Obama is now saying he's going to issue another executive order, and he's going to do it on his own now with gun control and background checks, making it much, much more difficult for people to get guns and permits. I guess he has to try to stay within the law with executive orders. And I was reading a little bit about executive orders. You know, several of them have actually been overthrown by the Supreme Court of America, including one that Bill Clinton had put through. And in addition to that, you know, the Congress can't override them. And what they can do is they can pass a law that opposes the executive order. And that even if the president tries to veto it, then what will happen is they can get a two-thirds supermajority and override the presidential veto and get rid of the executive order, which is, you know, in the case of our Congress, it's almost impossible, because it's such an even balance between Democrats and Republicans, and I don't think any Democrats are going to vote against the president as far as pushing through a supermajority. So when a president signs an executive order, you know, he has the ability of the United States federal government and the military to implement the federal, you know, that's why when the great criminal Abraham Lincoln basically a sign that, you know, they're getting rid of habeas corpus. I mean, all of this crazy stuff he did during the Civil War and the Emancipation Proclamation, those were all executive orders that he signed. And the crazy thing about it is that Lincoln, you know, we know this now, he was a socialist. He was friends with Karl Marx. And, you know, and Sherman's March to the Sea kind of gives you an idea where Lincoln was coming from. And, so, and you know, his wife was a known Satanist, for heaven's sakes, in the White House. I mean, conducting seances in the White House on a regular basis. I mean, they like to say she was crazy, but, you know, she wasn't crazy. She was just a Satanist. And back then, I guess they wanted to say she had a mental disorder. So the whole thing's kind of crazy. In itself, the fact that we actually have people like this in the White House who actually supposedly rule the country. You know, the other day I talked about Jung and about the four stages of life. I want to talk about Maslow now, because a lot of people don't really know who Maslow was. He was a psychologist who put together a pyramid. And there were five levels of the pyramid. The first pyramid being physiological. In other words, a human being must first be able to breathe, have food, have water, be able to sleep, maintain homeostasis, and basically maintain, you know, the ability to eat and stay alive. Number two is safety. That's security of the body, employment, resources, morality, the family, health, property. The third page says that this is when you mature as an adult, this is what you're supposed to go through. Next is love and belonging. That's with friends, friendships, sexual intimacy during marriage. Next is esteem. You develop self-esteem, confidence, achievement, respect of others, respected by others. Now, this triangle that he has, this pyramid, his hierarchy of needs, he never says that a person can get above any specific level. And that's the thing that's interesting about Maslow. And then finally, the top of the pyramid is what's called self-actualization. And Austin, you've heard me talk about that forever. And it's morality, creativity, spontaneity, problem-solving, a lack of prejudice, acceptance of facts, you know, being open-minded and really being, you know, able to be, you know, a person who understands what's going on. This one, like I'm saying, this would be the Patriots. We're awake, okay? We have set, we know who we are. We have sex self-actualization. Most people, I remember when I was in the psychology program at Florida State, they never reach the level of self-actualization. It never happens. So I just want to share that with the people who are listening today, the fact that you guys are listening to this show, that you're being able to listen to what I'm saying and doing what we're talking about and paying attention to me or to Doug Hagman or Steve Quayle or a host of other people that are really, really good on the air and have a lot of information to share with you guys. And the way I say good on the air, I don't mean as far as talent, but I mean as far as content. That's what I'm saying. And so it's really nice to know that we've got a group of people that are listening to us who have tremendous abilities and forethought. And they have a lot of self-actualization, because I can sit here and talk to you about executive orders and what can be done. But the sad part about it is our Congress people are basically so corrupt. There's so many of them now that are involved in pedophilia with young boys that it's almost impossible now to get true legislation out of the Congress, because they're basically bought and paid for and owned. And it's sad. It really is. I was up there last summer. I was actually speaking up there about 1,500 feet away from the White House, and I was there for two nights doing a seminar with a bunch of other speakers. And I remember I thought to myself, when I walked the halls of Congress and I was talking to the legislators and to their pages, I thought, why are there so many gay guys here? I mean, why are there so many guys that are so effeminate here? And then you start realizing about how much of the pedophile rings and how they run through Washington, D.C., you start to understand all of that. And it's really kind of sad, Austin, that we have a country that's being run by people that are pedophiles, and they should be in jail rather than making legislation for us.
Yeah, it's pretty disgusting, actually. Switching gears here, we have a new research study that shows that healthy gut microbe also contributes to healthy brain and emotional state. We've talked about this a few times, stuff like our ProBio 100 billion and also the probiotic blend, really, really good for overall intestinal health. But now they're actually showing a study conducted at William and Mary's University in 2014 found that students who ate more fermented food and had more probiotics in their diet were less likely to suffer from anxiety. They also found that fermented foods and probiotics may be a low-risk treatment for anxiety. The researchers also urge psychiatric professionals and healthcare professionals to consider the diet's impact on overall mental health. You know, we've talked about this before, you know, the omega-3 fatty acids, the B vitamins, the probiotics, those are all really, really, really important aspects in overall brain chemistry. They can really help out with maintaining, you know, say, healthy anxiety levels, I guess, and also, you know, mood, brain function, memory, all that stuff. So it just reiterates the point that when they, you know, mainstream media, universities start coming out with articles like this, that, I mean, you know for a fact that it's definitely something you need to be looking out for.
Well, no, the gut microbial, there's a direct connection between all the organs and all the functions of the body. Everything's directly connected back to the heart, directly connected back to the brain. There's actually neural cells in the heart itself. And the same people say there's a lot of neural activity that goes on in the gut. All of this stuff interacts. The body is not a group of individual cells that act independently of one another. It's a homeostatic mechanism that we've got. We were put here in this hologram that basically has to interact constantly with itself and with its own energy signatures. And these energy signatures interlace throughout the body. And what happens is they connect themselves. And we talked about this on the Hagman show, and we played it a few weeks ago on this show, about how the photons are released from our DNA to talk to our other DNA strands, and we are actually beings of light. But of course, the Bible says that God is light. So we were created as a being of light. And the higher we become, quote, illuminated, which is one of those terms the Illuminati want to use, which is something they probably stole from this, the more we glow and become more radiant. This is what happened to Moses on the mountain with Jesus when he showed up, you know, on the Mount of Transfiguration. It also happened with Moses when he went up to get the Ten Commandments. It also happened to Jesus once he was, you know, crucified and was raised from the dead, and they saw him. He says, "Do not touch me yet, for I've not returned to the Father." His body was in a flux. It was in an energy flux. And so what's interesting about all of this is that we're starting to understand the physics behind this stuff as far as how we're saved, why we're saved, the mechanism behind getting saved, how God communicates with us through scalar waves and scalar principles. It's all fascinating to me, Austin, but you're absolutely right. The gut microbial, the ability of the gut to work properly. This is one of the reasons the other day we were talking about chlorinated hydrocarbons, which is the pesticides, or Splenda, the artificial sweetener Splenda, how it destroys 50% of the gut microbial after like one soda with Splenda in it, because it's chlorine. And so when you do that, you destroy the body's ability to function properly, and you lose that gut-brain interaction. That's why probiotics are so absolutely critical to take. If you've ever drunk Splenda, or if you've ever had been on antibiotics, you've got to restore the intestinal flora in your gut. You've got to get to stay away from sugar as much as you possibly can, because the gut flora, once you start pumping sugar into it, starts growing yeast, you know, with yeast infections. That's why we have the black seed oil on our protocol along with the D3, because the black seed oil gets rid of fungus and yeast like crazy. And we also have the D3, the K2, we do the straight D3 right now. And then we're also doing the black seed oil and also the potassium iodide and vitamin C. And what that does, that's a phenomenal protocol that allows you to restore a healthy intestinal tract and get your entire mechanism, your entire body in sync. And that's what it has to do. Your body has to be able to talk to itself and maintain homeostasis. This is why we end up with cancer cells. Okay, and this is why cancer cells start growing cancer in our body, because our body loses communication between the different parts of the body. In addition to that, when you have an increase of nagalase in your body, when we don't know where that's coming from, that's from one of the research that was being done by Gonzalez, who died. When we have an increase in nagalase, we know that we have a massive increase of cancer cells and viral cells in the body. And if we have too much nagalase, it renders our macrophages, the sweeping vacuum cleaners of our bodies, useless, because it takes off their sugar molecules and it prevents them from attaching vitamin D3 to the macrophage itself, which makes the macrophage useless. And so then it sends out a cytokine storm, which are chemical messengers telling all the other macrophages to help. The problem is, if they've all been messed up because of the lack of vitamin D or because of the nagalase, it sets out what's called a cytokine storm, which causes massive inflammation throughout the entire body. That's what causes the encephalitic scream. See, when a child has, you know, been given the MMR shot, and they inject him at 18 months, and he comes, you come bring him home, his back arches and he starts screaming in this super high-pitched scream all night. The reason that's happening, he's having massive brain swelling, and it's extremely painful, and that the child can't talk and tell you what's going on, so he just screams. And a lot of times after 18 hours of that or 24 hours of that, you know, the kid's never the same again because of the brain damage. And you call the doctor up, they go, "Oh, that's normal. That's one of the side effects of this." Well, that's complete nonsense. It's not normal. I mean, that's awful. It may be normal for that shot, but it's not normal for a human being to undergo that kind of pain. And that's what we always tell folks, Austin. You've got to maintain proper homeostasis in the body, and all of the systems have to work properly in sync with one another. And if they do that, the body can stay healthy on its own.
Absolutely. And we're also seeing, too, now that corporations, we talked about it a couple months ago, are starting to rename high fructose corn syrup. And we've seen, you know, multiple corporations starting to do that. And we've talked about it numerous times about the pretty much all high fructose corn syrups made with GMO corn, not to mention it causes issues with the body, basically stimulating ghrelin, making you think you're still hungry, even though you're completely stuffed full with this type of synthetic sweetener. Now Big Food is at it again, hiding ingredients they know we really don't want to consume their products. And again, the new one is high fructose corn syrup. The product is General Mills Vanilla Chex. On the shelves now at stores. It's an updated version of the Chex cereal sold in most conventional grocery and discount stores for years. The front of the box clearly states that the product contains no high fructose corn syrup. But if you turn over and read the ingredients there it is, isolated fructose. Now, according to the Corn Refiners Association, this has been a sneaky name change. The term fructose is now being used to denote a product that was previously known as HFCS-90, which means high fructose corn syrup at 90% fructose. Compare this to the term of regular high fructose corn syrup, which is either between 42 and 55. Now, what's funny about this is now they're starting to say that the 90% doesn't actually have to be a high 90%. It can actually taper down even lower. So it's not a true fructose still. It's still high fructose corn syrup with a higher fructose production. And what's interesting is General Mills has had a history of deceiving the public. Earlier this year, it was prohibited from labeling its products that contain synthetic ingredients as the term natural. They were doing that on everything. Everything had the word natural, even though they were putting full-blown lab-made synthetic ingredients and artificial flavors, it was still labeled as natural. The Center for Science and the Public Interest, the CSPI, basically prevented it with a settlement agreement designating that 30 different Nature Valley products, including granola bars, crispy squares, and trail mix, were not 100% natural. So this is what I've been telling you guys. Read the labels on your products. It's not difficult. Make sure you know what you're eating. If there's ingredients that compromise your health or that you can't even pronounce or understand or much less completely comprehend what in the world they're doing to this product, walk away from it, and more than likely walk away from the whole product and the whole company as a whole, because they don't care about your health. All they want to do is increase their bottom line, and if that means increasing synthetic, toxic, nasty compounds in their product, they're going to do so. So that's definitely something you guys need to be aware of. Just keep an eye out for it.
You know, you're absolutely right, Austin. In fact, you have to remember something. When you have General Mills and these big, huge chains of cereals, you know, these things are conglomerates, okay? They have interlocking corporate directorships with all these other corporations. They're basically owned by the Sabbateans, by the Frankists, by the Kabbalists, the Luciferians, the Federal Reserve Boys, the Rothschilds, who are basically from the synagogue of Satan. I mean, that's who owns all this stuff. And the way they do it, and we talked about this yesterday, is they print money out of nothing, and they buy up all the industry. And when they do that, they're able to control this thing through their interlocking corporate directorships. And what they'll do, they have a whole bunch of houses that basically are investment homes and houses. And they'll you know, like you may have, you know, you just name a few of them, you know, Merrill Lynch, you know, I think, you know, whatever. I think Merrill Lynch is gone now. But the thing about it is that you have all these different brokerage firms, and they get bought up by these Sabbateans. They throw the money into them, and they start buying these whole huge corporate investment stock blocks. And they start controlling these corporations. And one of the things that they do is they end up going in and they change the way the corporations are run. Because remember, we're goyim. That's what we are to them. We're animals. They don't care if they poison us. I know that's so hard for people to believe, but it's just the truth. They don't care if they poison us. All they care about is how much money they make. And it's all about greed. See, when you become a Christian, you learn how to give. At least you're supposed to. The Bible says it's better to give than it is to receive. I mean, I can't tell you how many times, and Austin, you've seen this, and I'm not bragging because it's just, I'm just going to use me as an example. The Holy Spirit will say something to me. I'll see somebody even on the side of the street, on the road, whatever, and I feel sorry for them or whatever. I'll stop and I'll give them some money. And I've done that so many times. And see, that's the thing that we're supposed to have, is that willingness to help other people. See, we're not supposed to be led and controlled by greed. We're supposed to be led and controlled by wanting to help people to do unto others as you would have them do unto you. That's our golden rule. That's our mantra as Christians. The Muslims don't have that. The Jewish folks don't have that. The Hindus don't have that. The Buddhists don't have that. Nobody has that but us. We're the ones that are supposed to, like, if they ask you for your cloak, you give them your cloak, and you give them your tunic as well, or whatever the Bible says on the Sermon on the Mount when Jesus was talking. That's what we're supposed to do as Christians. See, that's why at Health Masters, I bring you the absolute highest quality products that I can possibly bring to you, because I'm taking them along with my family, and I have them manufactured at very, very high quality control standards at an FDA registered drug laboratory. And I do this because I know they're going in your body, and I want to make sure that whatever I put in you and I put in me and I put in my family is the absolute best I can do. That's why I do that, because I'm done at a higher quality. That's why my raw ingredients cost more. That's why my products cost more. That's why my manufacturing costs are so high, because I'm making the absolute best that I can possibly make. That's why I source my products, and that's why I've got quality control. I do all of this stuff because I want to make sure that when you get the product and you ingest it, it's super important. That's why I always tell people, make sure you get a lanolin-based vitamin D3, not a synthetic. We only use lanolin-based vitamin Ds. And see, that's the most important thing that people need to understand, is that if you continue to take junk products, it's not going to feed your body or make your cells stay healthy. You won't maintain proper cellular function. I mean, I'm going to tell you this like I've told you guys before. If you've got a headache, you don't have a deficiency of Tylenol or aspirin or Advil. You may have something like blood sugar conditions. You may have a caffeine withdrawal. You may have a brain tumor, for heaven's sakes. But you don't have a deficiency of these drugs. If you have an upset stomach, you don't have a deficiency of Maalox or Rolaids or Tums or Tagamet. These are drugs. Most of them contain aluminum, which are going to give you Alzheimer's disease. See, and the manufacturers, they don't care. They know. Remember, the biochemistry training that I had at Florida State University, I spent 400 hours in the biochemical genetics lab at Florida State. These guys who are doing all this stuff, they've had the same training that I've had. They know what this stuff does. They know how it affects the body. They don't care. I was reading in the Financial Times a few years ago. I'll never forget this. I've got it quoted on my website, you know, the date and the time and everything else, what page it was on. And it was talking about how these drug companies basically wanted to find a drug for cancer that would keep you on that drug for years, if not decades, like diabetes. Nothing about curing the drug, the cancer. Keeping you on a drug to treat the cancer that you knew if you came off the drug that you would die, because they said what it would do, it would massively increase their profits, and it was their fiduciary responsibility as a drug manufacturer to make as many and as much profit as they possibly could for their stockholders. See, you've been turned into a dollar bill to these people. That's how they look at you. They see you as a goyim, as an expendable container. That's all they see you as. They don't see you as a human being. They want to make sure they can extract as much from you as they possibly can and then discard you as a disposable container. That's how they look at you. That's how they look at me. That's how they look at all of us. And they don't even care anymore that we do talk shows like this, or Alex Jones is on, or Joyce is on, or the Mike Adams is on, or Hagmans are on, or Dave Hodges are on. Nobody cares anymore. They let us just kind of Verrückt Lauf, which in German means like run around, just do whatever we want to do, because they don't care. They figure that they've got it so tied in with Congress, with the lobbyists now, and they bought the United States Senate, they bought the United States Congress, they bought the White House, that what in the world can we as individuals do anymore when they have the power of executive order? And that's the way they look at it, when they have the power of running false flags all over the United States and doing these things just to try to take away our gun rights. And every time one of these shootings takes place, you know, a couple of weeks later, you're like, well, this isn't really not what they told us it was. There's all kinds of other things that happened during this shooting. Why are we not being told this up front? Well, because they don't want you to know it up front, because a lot of this stuff is, remember what happened back in 1913 with the Federal Reserve Act and all the stuff that happened with the sinking of the Titanic. The Titanic was sunk, I believe it was 1911. It had the world's industrialist, John Jacob Astor, on there and a bunch of other people, and they didn't want the Federal Reserve Act to go through, so they basically killed him on that boat. Now, I believe that happened. You can look it up online. The second thing happened is that Wilson also wanted to put us into World War I because the bankers wanted to make more money and get us involved in the conflict over in Europe. Because they make literally hundreds of billions, if not trillions of dollars in today's currencies by putting us to war. It's a super profit maker. So what happened is they decided they were going to, and Wilson couldn't get the people in because the biggest ethnic group in America was Germany, and they weren't allowed. The Germans did not want to go fight their brothers and sisters. So there was like 67% of the population wanted nothing to do with World War One. And what happened is Wilson hired Edward Bernays to come in as the father of advertising. They put together this big propaganda program. And then what happened is they intentionally sunk the Lusitania. It was put into the waters off the coast of England that were full of German submarines. They knew it was there. It was told to slow down to 3 knots, and they sunk the Lusitania. The Germans did, and it exploded. It sank within like 20 minutes. 1,200 people lost their lives. Austin and I and Dalton and Sharon years ago went to Europe, and we actually went to the grave sites of the people who sank, who were killed on the Lusitania. Remember that, Austin?
Yes.
You remember that? We were there. We were there, yep, where it was sunk. And we actually saw the grave sites of the people that were about the Lusitania. Now, what happened is the Germans put a big article in the paper in New York that all the ships that are leaving, including the Lusitania, basically, from Russia, from New York City, that are going into the war zone with Germany and England, are basically enemy combatant ships. They will be sunk. And they knew that. They did that on purpose to do a false flag to force the United States into World War One. Then what happened is with World War II, again, 50, 60, 70% of people wanted nothing to do with another war in Europe. And what they did, Roosevelt, now this is, we've seen this now, it's all been released, it's no longer under the Freedom of Information Act, we have it. He set up an 8-step process in order to get the United States into war by having the Japanese attack the United States, including cutting off their fuel. And he did all of these things because he knew that they would be attacked. 3 days before the Japanese attacked Pearl Harbor, the Australians contacted Roosevelt in the White House and said, you've got a carrier group heading towards Hawaii from the Japanese. And they knew they were going to be attacked. They didn't care because they wanted a false flag. They wanted the Japanese to attack us. Same thing happened in 60, I believe, I forgot what year it was, in Vietnam with the Gulf of Tonkin, in which was supposedly one of our ships was sunk. It never even happened. It was a total, complete lie. And that's what happened. 9/11, another huge false flag from criminal elements of the government being involved with all of that. And all of these things that brought us to war, brought us to war, brought us to war, brought us to war. Vietnam, 58,000 people dead. And they were running all the heroin from the Cambodian Triangle back into America and the body bags of the dead GIs. They didn't care about any dead bodies they had. It was more containers to send heroin back. I mean, this is what we're being run by. We're being run by a criminal cartel of elite, like a group of gangsters that don't see human life for what it is, and they see us as animals. They don't care if they kill you or step on an ant. It's the same thing to them. That's their goal. And that, what the craziest thing about it is, they don't even care if they destroy the planet with chemtrails. They got to breathe this crap they're putting on us too. And so the craziest thing about all of this stuff is that people have to wake up and realize that our government has been taken over at the highest levels by a criminal cartel, primarily the Rothschild banking cartel. Also involved will be the Catholic Church and in the Vatican. Also involved will be some of the major corporations. Those are the ones who are doing all of this stuff, and it's all about bringing us under a one-world government under Lucifer. That's what Bohemian Grove's all about. That's what Skull and Bones is all about. And these guys are Satan worshippers. They're Luciferians. And that's why Putin has said, if you guys want to worship Satan over there, that's okay with me. We don't care. But leave Russia out of it. See, that's the problem. The mainstream media, which is Rothschild-owned, both the AP Wire and the Reuters Wire, they are controlled by the Rothschild banking cartel. So I'm going to read you some stories in a few minutes. And I'm going to tell you right before I read the story, because it's from ABC News. I don't believe this story, because I don't believe it. But anyhow, Austin, what's your next story? I'm going to go look this one up real quick.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I get on a rant like that. So that's a good summary for you guys to tell people to listen to the first part of the show and they'll learn a little bit.
Yeah, we also discussed yesterday, because it was funny, you know, you were talking about how Trump's poll numbers went up after he stated that we need to, you know, temporarily ban Muslim integration in the United States until we can properly vet them, as the DHS and FBI have both stated they cannot and are not properly vetting Muslim integrations from the Middle East right now and confirming whether or not they have jihadist intentions or they actually really want to come here and contribute to the workforce of America and make America a better place. Now, what's funny now is no matter how hard the media tried to push it, they even said that he needs to be disqualified, this and that. Now, Rasmussen's survey indicates that most likely voters agree with the GOP frontrunner Donald Trump that a temporary ban on Muslim integrations and travelers should be imposed. Among all the voters, 46% favor a temporary ban on Muslims entering the United States, while 40% are opposed, and a further 14% declared they are undecided at the time. And what's funny is that, you know, you talk about this stuff, and a lot of people, oh, you're racist. You don't need to, you can't ban people from coming to the United States. Wait a minute. What if I want to fly over into Sweden, or I want to fly over into Germany, or better yet, New Zealand, and I show up there? What, do you think the government's just going to let me come in as an American citizen and say, hey, I'm here to get on welfare. I don't like working in the United States. I've heard you guys have an incredibly good welfare program. I don't like the country I'm from. I'm coming here so you can pay me to live. That's essentially what a lot of these guys are doing. And not all of them are involved in that, but a lot of them are. And the truth is, a lot of the ones that aren't involved in that are involved in jihadist activity, as we already saw out in California. And to prove my point even further, an individual named Imam Yasser Hadi, who's a college professor in Tennessee, who is described by a 2001 New York Times Magazine essay. Remember, the New York Times Magazine is also one that just produced that absolute garbage of a piece on anti-guns and how everything needs to be banned. So you know how liberal they are. So if they're endorsing this guy, you absolutely know it's complete and totally just bunk. But they stated he's one of the most influential conservative clerics in American Islam. This, and I'm about to quote this guy from one of his videos. And one of his sermons online, Imam Yasser Hadi steps up his verbal abuse. He says, there is no deity worth of worship except Allah. Christians are by necessity and by definition the most evil of all evils. Like all unbelievers and all polytheists, Christians are filthy. They are najisub. And Islam, that term basically means feces, a filthy, impure, dirty substance. That's what he calls Christians, feces. He declares that the Prophet Muhammad and by extension, all Muslims have been commanded to jihad. He says, what is jihad? It is a means to establish monotheism on the land. The Prophet then said, I have been commanded to fight the people until they convert to Islam. If they will not convert to Islam, their life and property are free for the taking for the Muslims. That's a Tennessee college professor, Imam Yasser Hadi, the blithering idiot that thinks all Christians are feces. This is what is in America right now ranting about what they believe. That is Islam in a nutshell. If you don't believe it, look it up and go read the Quran. If they want to promote this filthy garbage, I suggest they go back to their country and promote it all they want in Syria and Iraq and Afghanistan, and let me know how it works out for them over there. Because as far as I'm concerned, America is still a Christian nation, not a Muslim nation. If they want to come here and assimilate and become law-abiding Americans that want to support America's future, contribute to our values, support our economy, I am all for legal immigration. But this filth that this guy is spewing on his sermons is an absolute abomination. If anybody even came out and started making claims like that about Judaism or Islam, they'd be so ostracized by the media, nobody even want to talk to him anymore. That's what irritates me, is it's always a double standard. You can pick on Christians, you can talk about how bad they are, how bad whites are, how bad this is, how bad that is, but as soon as you say something about Muslims or gays or Jews, anything along that lines, you're automatically a phobic or you're anti-Islam or anti-gay. No, I'm just speaking my mind. This guy apparently has gone completely overboard, though, with his belief and his Islam rhetoric. It nauseates me, but that's just my opinion on that. Take it as it is.
Well, no, the sad part about it is there are good Muslims who live peacefully with Christians, and they don't impose those types of harsh rules. But what you're reading from and what you're talking about, what he's saying, that's the hardcore truth of what Islam is. It really is.
Yeah.
And that's why these guys get so caught up in it with their 60 virgins and killing somebody. Let me read you this. Remember I was telling you about how the media lies? This is ABC News. I believe this is a complete and total obfuscation. Okay? I don't believe anything I'm fixing to read to you, and I'm going to tell you what it's supposed to say. You guys know how I like to do that. ABC News. With the U.S. and other countries on high alert for ISIS attacks, American authorities are warning the terror group followers may have infiltrated American borders with authentic-looking passports. ISIS has printed itself with its own machines. According to an intelligence report by ABC News, The 17-page Homeland Security Investigations Intelligence Report issued to law enforcement last week says ISIS likely has been able to print legitimate-looking Syrian passports since taking over the city of Deir ez-Zor last summer, home to a passport office with boxes of blank passports and a passport printing machine. Another passport office is located in Raqqa, Syria, which has long been ISIS's de facto capital. Here's what I think it says. ABC News. With the help of the United States and other countries who are basically telling us that we're in a high ISIS attack, American authorities have gotten in trouble now for providing passport machines to terror groups that have infiltrated America's borders with authentic-looking passports. ISIS has printed itself with its own machines, which were probably supplied to by the CIA. That's what I believe that it says. Anything you see come out of... That's what I believe it says. Now, I'm not saying that I'm right. I'm just saying that that's what I believe. This is more obfuscation. These guys have gotten their pants caught in this stinking cookie jar with these passports, and now they're trying to say, oh, my God, these are legitimate passports. They may have a machine that actually makes legitimate passports. Oh, no, where did they get that? Oh, they must have stolen it. Well, where do you think they steal stuff like that from? You can't just buy things like that. You don't get those on eBay or Amazon. Give me a break.
The same place they stole all the MRAPs and surface air missiles that the United States accidentally left behind and shipped to Iraq accidentally that ISIS just happened to get a hold of.
Well, here we go. Here we go. We're going to go back to executive orders again. This is Kurt Nimmo, so I know it, so this is right. Obama plans to bypass Congress and issue executive orders expanding criminal or background checks before guns are issued. Obama's senior advisor, Valerie Jarrett, Muslim. Obama's senior advisor, Muslim Valerie Jarrett, indicated the unconstitutional order will expand background checks. She said Obama instructed his team to complete a proposal and submit it for his review in short order. In November, Senate Democrats urged President Obama to circumvent Congress by using executive orders. Senator Richard Blumenthal, Murphy, Kuhn, Carper, and Kaine have joined their colleagues and helping Obama to push this executive order nightmare. Obama and the Democrats have received support from the Michael Bloomberg-funded Every Town for Gun Safety organization. It is unclear if Obama will also sign an order to deny Americans on the government's secret no-fly to their right to practice Second Amendment. Again, they won't even tell us how you end up on the no-fly list. They don't tell you that. Now they're telling Trump that he can't come to England or Scotland anymore because I guess he's anti-Muslim, and I'm sure I don't know what he's going to do with his golf courses and casinos or whatever he owns over there, but it may have been in Ireland he owns that. I don't know. But the whole thing is just so stupid. Somebody tells the truth about what's going on, everybody tries to go after him. And you see, here's the thing about it is, again, it takes a two-thirds majority to get a supermajority to get rid of an executive order. That's why I don't think that's ever been done. They've only done it a couple times, I think five or six times with the Supreme Court. So when they have signed these 13,000 or some odd orders. Oh, by the way, the great socialist Roosevelt signed over 3,000 executive orders, Austin, including the banning of gold.
Wow! I remember when you told me about the gold.
It was 3,500 executive orders. Another communist. I mean, he was from a huge banking family. I mean, unbelievable. The whole thing is this is ridiculous. Okay, here this is from The Intercept. The secret government rulebook for labeling you and me and all of us, anybody who's a patriot, a terrorist. The Intercept, July 23rd, 2014. The March 2013 Watching List Guidance, it's a 166-page document issued last year by the National Counterterrorism Center, spells out the government's secret rules for putting individuals on its main terrorist database, as well as the no-fly list and the selected list, which triggers enhanced screening at airports and border crossings. The new guidelines allow individuals to be designated as representatives of terror organizations without any evidence they are actually connected to such organizations, and gives a single White House official the unilateral authority to place entire categories of people the government is tracking onto no-fly and selectee lists. It broadens the authority of government officials to nominate people to the watch list based on what is vaguely described as fragmentary information. It also allows for dead people to be watch listed. Unbelievable. I mean, how do you
so basically
watch
they
list
say,
a dead person?
Yeah, I so guess basically they could say that
that's right.
Austin Brower has a terror organization, so anybody that's ever been associated with him is now considered a terrorist, or Alex Jones followers are now considered terrorists. That's how easy that happens with that stupid little thing.
Yeah, what's your next story, Oz?
Well, what's interesting, too, is the federal taxes have set records now in the first 2 months of the fiscal 2016. It's interesting, they've taken in a record $416 billion in revenue through the first 2 months of the fiscal year, according to the monthly Treasury statement released. And this is just funny, though. This is the best part right here. Despite the record tax revenue of over $416 billion in the first 2 months of the fiscal year, the government still spent $617 billion in those 2 months and have ran up a deficit of another $201 billion just during those periods of 2 months. And what's crazy is even though they've increased the top income tax rate from, what, 35 to 39.6 now, increasing the top tax rate on dividends and capital gains from 15 to 20%, and now they're phasing out the personal exemptions and deductions starting at annual income levels of $250,000, they're still in a massive deficit. And what nobody understands is, for some reason, most people understand this, but nobody in the federal government seems to understand this, is that you can't keep spending more money than you're making on a regular basis. You continue to go further in debt. But what the issue is that nobody wants to talk about is how much money we're wasting on foreign policy, foreign aid, the billions of dollars we give away every year in foreign aid just for no reason at all, because we see, oh, that country needs $100 billion. Okay, that's fine. Go print up some more money, put us in more debt, and throw them some more cash. Or the millions and millions and millions of people now that are abusing the welfare state, including a lot of the immigration. Now, remember, I told you I did the article last week that from 2009 to currently, that 91% of the Muslim area immigration from the Middle East, 91% of them in the United States now, are on Medicaid, Social Security stipend, or some type of welfare or food stamp recipients. So what's happened is we're becoming a more and more of a nation of socialism. The problem is what's going to happen is all the people pulling the cart are going to stop real soon. They're going to get sick of this. I mean, we're already at 39.6% at the top income tax bracket. That's not factoring in your other 7.5% for your Social Security and Medicaid you get to put in. At that point, you're paying almost 50% of your income tax in, and that's just if you have a standard job making pretty decent money. That's not even including your business, if you're a business owner and you have to match the Social Security and workman's comp and all the other taxes and fees you have to pay. So, I mean, people don't realize that. I mean, we're slowly moving closer and closer to full-blown tyranny, that we're no longer going to have any type. Here's another article right here. The middle class in America is declining and no longer constitutes a majority, according to the Pew Research Study. They found now that after more than four decades of serving as the nation's economic majority, the middle class is now matched in number by those in tiers above and below. Pew found that a share of American adults living in middle-income houses has fallen from 61% in 1970 to 50% in 2016. The upper-income tier has risen from 14% to 21% over the same period, and lower-income tier increased from 25% to 29%. And so what we're seeing here now is there's this bigger and bigger discrepancy between the middle class and the upper class and the lower class, and we're slowly forming this lower and lower and lower. Essentially, what they all want to make us is basically peasants, is, you know, the workers out in the field, and you're going to have the top multi-billion dollar a year men that are making large sums of money, and that's all they wanted to be, is the lowly peasants and the large lords, and that's essentially obviously what they're shooting for now.
Well, also remember, Austin, because we've become so mechanized with our manufacturing processes now, we don't need as many workers. We talked about this the other day, and that's one of the other reasons they're doing the eugenics protocol, because we have a bunch of, they call us, I guess, useless eaters, and, you know, people that have redundancies for now. And see, that's what people don't understand, is that they really don't like us. I mean, we're on their planet, they think, that belongs to them and Lucifer, I guess, and, you know, we're basically in the way, and they're using. Yeah, it's like I told Doug Tagman one time. I was on his show about a year and a half ago, and I talked straight to the Luciferians, and I'll say it again tonight, today on this show. You believe that your God and our God you know, were basically co-ruling of the universe, and they were equal. And then there was a coup in heaven in which Lucifer got tossed out, but he's the good God because he's the one who brought us all of the stuff on this planet and brought us all of the stuff with the Watchers. So you believe that he was the good guy, our God is the bad guy. Well, let me ask you a question if you really believe that. And I want you to ask yourself this very clearly. If he's the good guy, why does he require that you sacrifice your children to him? Why does he require that you drink the blood of the children? Why does he require that you go into these horrible, horrible sacrificial rites and killing these children and killing these people and torturing them? If he's such a good guy, why does he ask that of you? I mean, our God asks us to love one another. He asks us to have mercy and compassion with one another. He asks us to forgive each other, not to eat each other and drink our blood. I mean, that's what the thing I don't understand. If you guys think he's such a good guy, what's up with that? Why do you promote bestiality? Why do you promote pedophilia? Why do you promote human sacrifice? Why do you allow yourself to be involved in all of that stuff? I mean, it doesn't make any sense to me. Years ago, I had a witch come after me, which is ridiculous, but she did. I mean, we was bounded in the name of Jesus. But, I mean, it's unbelievable how messed up these people are, what they think and how they do and what they do and how they act. I mean, it's absolutely crazy. We actually ended up going and having a restraining order hearing against this person over at the courthouse, and it was just the nuttiest thing you've ever heard. It's all part of the court records here. But the thing about it is this. Why in the world do you want to kill everybody? Why do you want to cut and maim and destroy things? I mean, why do you think that makes Lucifer the good guy? I mean, what is that? Why did you get so twisted in your mind to think that? It doesn't make any sense to me. There's all kinds of things that God will do for you and help you with if you'll simply bow your head and ask Jesus Christ to come in your heart and ask God to forgive you for what you've done. See, and that's what people need to understand, Austin, is this good and this bad, this thing we've got going on, this yin and yang in the universe as far as all of this positive and negative stuff happening. You know, we have to be on the side of the winner of this deal. That's going to be the God of Moses and of Jesus Christ and all of the, you know, the maker of the universe. And these people don't understand that. They get it confused. You know, that's why I went into detail, you know, a few weeks ago on the Hagman Show, which we also aired on this show, on the blood of Christ and what it does and how it works. I mean, we have such tremendous authority when we're tied together with God Almighty, the Most High, in the highest dimension. We call it the 13th dimension or the eternal now, that he allows us to be in covenant with him and allows us to basically have anything we want if we ask him and we do what pleases him according to the word. And it's not because God's a vending machine, because he's a good dad. He's a good God. He loves you. He's not going to ask you to sacrifice your children. I mean, good grief. That's ridiculous. But that's what Lucifer does. So ask yourself that question. Let me go. We're almost out of time. Let me go. I want to read a couple more articles real quick. Okay. Let's see. I've got three or four new ones. I changed the subject on that. I pulled it down. Let's see. Forgive me, guys. I got all tied up in what I was talking about. Okay, Obama is bringing in 13,000 Muslims who support suicide bombing per year. This is from DC Whispers. As reported here earlier today, Muslim immigration to the United States has doubled during the Obama years. With that fact in mind, considering this chilling reality via a Pew Research polling, 13% of the Muslims inside of the U.S. support suicide bombing at least some of the time. The U.S. now has over 100,000 Muslims being granted entry every year. That means, according to the Pew Research data, 13,000 of those Muslims coming to the United States each year support suicide bombing. 1% of those polled indicated it was justified most of the time. That figure represents a truly radical mindset and is growing by 1,000 Muslims into the U.S. every single year. It also accounts for the over 350,000 Muslims in America who support suicide bombing, 13% of the total current Muslim population. Austin, the more you dig into this thing, you start understanding why we have these wars in Europe to drive these people out. I mean, it's sad that we have to feel that way and act that way, but the reality is if they're not willing to live with us and accept our laws and our way of life, why don't they go back to that hell hole where they came from in Egypt? You and I were in Cairo. You and I were in the one on the port there. It'll come to me in a second. We were there, and you and I crawled through the big pyramid together when you were younger. I mean, Alexandria. There is no way on God's green earth that I would want to live in that hellhole cesspool that they've created with their Muslim world. That place is unbelievable. We got camel jacked in the doggone desert, and we're basically held for ransom while we were there. I mean, it's the nuttiest thing. Austin knows he was there. No, well, I'm not making any of this crazy stuff up. If we have time, I'll tell you the whole story right now. But the whole thing is this. Crawl back to your damn hellhole you came from, and you got open sewage in the street, you got things hanging all over with flies that people are trying to eat. I mean, it's awful there. I mean, don't come to our country and tell us that you want to change everything and go to Sharia law and start whopping off heads and blowing people up, blowing up suicide vests, and cutting off people's hands. If you want to do that, go back to Cairo, go back to where you came from, and leave us out of your loop. Can I sum that up any better than that, Austin?
That's pretty much sums it up, man. There's no question about it. That's what everybody's starting to realize now. That's why, you know, 46% of all the voters now are supporting Trump's statement on that, while the mainstream media tries to pull the whole politically correct card. Everybody else is going, no, he's got a point there. This culture, this religion does not like to assimilate with anybody else but Islam. They do not function. They do not, put it this way, they don't play well with others. That's all you have to say. They really don't. That's just the easiest way to put it.
Here's an article. Here's Russia Today said with Putin. He goes, any targets threatening Russian forces in Syria must be immediately destroyed. Putin, there you go. Jihadists in Syria pose a direct threat to Russia. Putin has told a defense meeting in Moscow, adding that any targets threatening the country's military there should be destroyed. Defense Ministry Sergei Shoigu said, Islamic State influence in Syria continues to expand. The Russian military's actions in Syria are being coordinated with Russia special services, such as the FSB, who are disclosing terrorist cells, including Islamic State, Putin said. All forces threatening Russian servicemen in Syria should be destroyed, according to the Russian president. See, he's doing it right. He's not saying, oh, these are Muslims, we can't kill them. He's saying kill all of them if they're threatening Russia. And he's already said multiple times, we don't want them in Russia, and if they come to Russia, we're not going to obey their laws. They're going to obey our laws and just get out. See, that's what we need to realize. There's a reason there are Muslim countries. There's a reason there's Christian countries. There's a reason there's Buddhist countries. There's a reason there's Hindu countries. They don't mix well together, okay? So we came to the United States for religious freedom, you know, hundreds and hundreds of years ago with the pilgrims because of the persecution that we were getting in England and in Europe. And, you know, with Martin, right before Martin Luther did what he did. And see, people need to understand, we escaped the jaws of tyranny already. We drove the Moors back in the 1400s out of Europe. And now it's all starting again because we've put a Muslim in the White House and because the globalists want a world war with the Muslims versus the Christians versus the Jews. Now apparently Russia's going to jump into the middle of it with all of it. And they're trying to do everything they possibly can now to bring in a one-world government, and that's their goal.
Yeah, you're spot on, bud. Well, we appreciate you guys listening in. The show today was brought to you by healthmasters.com. Check us our website out. Email us, call us if you have any questions. I hope you enjoyed the show, and you guys have a blessed night and a wonderful weekend.
And we'll see you guys on Sunday. We'll hear you Sunday night live, 7 to 8, right before Dave Hodges' show, 7 to 8 Eastern time, right before Dave Hodges for 1 hour. We'll be back with you guys. Thanks so much for listening.